Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to our weekly phone conference for Ordination 2020. I'm glad that everyone has taken out the time, made the commitment to be a part of your training and preparation. We will have an update on our phases and where we should be in our preparation from Elder Sherita. Elder Sherita?
Greetings, everyone, and thank you all for tuning in on this evening to our weekly one-hour preparation training meetings. They are held every Thursday from now until August 2020 on Blog Talk Radio. Just note that if you are not able to dial in the Blog Talk number, you can always visit us online and join the discussion on www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC Word Life Center. And if you do log in online, you just want to text Overseer that you are on the call via the Blog Talk Radio website. And then you can always visit this website as well if you happen to miss any meetings or you just want to review prior sessions. Tonight's opening prayer will be by Deacon Dean Toler, and our closing prayer will be by Elder Dr. Carter Thomas. Everyone should have received an email with Phase 5, which consists of scriptures and readings for this season of consecration, and then additional details will be explained in the meeting on this evening. As we continue the prophetic teaching on the trailblazer from Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson, we just ask that you will continue to study the notes that were given and just be prepared to be quizzed periodically. And then we also, on this evening, to our weekly word of encouragement from our very own pastoral care director, Apostle Katie Pierce. In addition, as we discussed on last week, if you would like to be a part of the pastoral care team, you can email aenpastorcare@gmail.com, and you can provide your contact information. Again, that email is aenpastorcare@gmail.com, and we will send out just an email with this information in it. And then we do pray that everyone have been enjoying the candidate and accountability partner presentations. This week's presenters are candidate Brother Jamel Michaels and his accountability partner, Deacon Earl Lazarus. And they will be presenting on the characteristic of love of the brethren, coming from 1 John 4:21. And then for candidates, all of the written requirements for phase 1, 2, 3, and 4 should have been submitted by now. So if you still have unfinished requirements, just please be sure to contact Overseer Thornton ASAP just to let her know when you will be able to get your unfinished requirements in. And then lastly, as always, we encourage you to bring your questions for the meeting and just share during this time. And that's all that I have.
Amen. Are there any questions? We've covered a lot of material, and I believe that you also received via email the reading for your consecration. And so after prayer, we will have Elder Deborah give you further details as to what your consecration is going to look like in the month of July and August. So we turn it over to Deacon Toler.
Good evening, candidates, clergymen, and all. Today we're going to start the prayer off with thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us all here together. Thank you for gathering these candidates to follow this, your terrific, humongous lead. This is a journey that they're going to enjoy, they're going to learn from. They're going to be amazed at some of the stuff that just happens to them. They're able to understand and absorb it as quickly as it comes. But God always gives you time, and he does everything at a certain pace. So we're not going to worry about that. But please, one thing I really want you to know, enjoy this journey. It's long, it's fruitful, and it's eye-opening and enlightening. So in Jesus' name, may this program and any questions you may have enlighten you and give you the answers to searching for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon Toler. Deacon Toler is our past graduates, and he has been growing in leaps and bounds. He's made himself available to candidates to help them through this process. So we definitely want to acknowledge his faithfulness and his service to this committee. Even though he's done his portion of the requirements, he has still remained in direct contact and giving back to that which was imparted into him. So we thank you so much. And so we're going to start this evening with an explanation of your consecration by Elder Deborah. We'll give you some details, maybe ask you a question or two, so to get you familiar with what your consecration is going to look like. Elder Deborah?
Thank you. Excuse me. Good evening. The consecration is coming from John, the 15th chapter. The entire consecration will be the first through the 16th verses. For the past couple of weeks, I've been asking you to read and meditate on John 15, 1 through 8, because that is a portion that is the focal point. However, the consecration being 31 days will take us on through the 16th verse. So hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to read the first and the second installment of the consecration readings, which would be the vine and the husbandman. And you'll notice that there's a reading for each day. One of the things I'd like to say about this is that, maybe two things, that because this was written some time ago, when you're reading it, it is helpful to not only read it more than once, but to read it slowly and even to read it aloud so that you can get the cadence and the flow of the verbiage, because it is not in the common vernacular that we speak on a regular basis. There may be some verbs in there that we don't use, but I think still the message is crystal clear. In looking at yesterday's, the first installment, the vine, I am the true vine, where it's talking about everything that we see here in the natural is a shadow of what's happening in the heavenlies. And likewise, Christ is set as an ensample and an example for us to follow. When he is saying that I am the true vine, he tells us that all the vines of the earth are pictures and emblems of himself. We are to look like our Heavenly Father. The the passage talks about resting under the shadow of the true vine. And we know that we have rest and peace and security. As you read through, make notes in your margin. If there's something that you don't see when it talks about the true vine is a mystery. Some of the commentaries say that this passage was what Jesus shared with his disciples after the Lord's Supper on the walk to Gethsemane. And some of them speculate that he might have been looking at the golden vine and grapes that were on the top of Herod's temple, or it could have just been the vine and branches as they walked through or walked alongside. But we just have to understand that no matter what imagery seems best for you, the obvious message is that we are dependent on the vine for our continued life. And as the prophet has been speaking and indicating that this class is a class of trailblazers and innovators and not able to prepare, I kind of like not having a forewarning as opposed to not being able to prepare, because you have to be prepared. And the preparation comes by obediently trusting in the vine, because he tells us that he'll give us everything that we need. So as you read through these daily readings, I want you to actually read and study, make notes, because I want you to be able to share with us, even on the calls. One thing, and I'm going to give the floor back to Overseer, but the reading for today where it's talking about the husbandman, when I got down to, I'm not going to go there because that's going to take too long, but at the bottom of the one that says the vine, on the very first page where it says, bow down, be still, worship and wait. When I heard that in my spirit, that bow down made me think about the surrender that the prophet was talking about, and to be still, to submit, because you can bow down but not be submitted. You ever hold a toddler down that's still kicking and screaming, and then it says to worship and to wait. And I thought about the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of our time and our talents and our resources, and how that has to look different in this place where we are. So just as you read it, see what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart about the various parts of this scripture. He breaks it down in very bite-sized pieces, almost minutely, for us to be able to really get everything out of it. So what I would like is that I want to assign two people per week. And this is just to give you a reflection. We're talking like 2 minutes, not a long Bible study, not cross-referencing 5, 6 scriptures, looking at what the author says and then pulling from what the Lord is giving you in this season for this journey, and then coming back, and no matter which one you want to use, so we're in week 1, July 1 through 7, the next time we meet, we'll be on we should be on Accept Ye Abide, which is the second reading for week 2. So anything within that July 1st through July 8th time that the Lord puts on your heart. So for the reading for next week, LaDonna Hardy, Tora Johnson. For the 16th, Lynette Harris and Arnett Alexander. And you're not doing this as a tag team. It's just the two of you. The week of the 23rd, Carter Thomas, Francine Love, and July 30th, Vera Adams, Trevor Calhoun, and Jamel Michaels. And we might have to tweak that depending, but what I want you to do is just to be prepared to just share a minute, 2 minutes, just what the Lord has given you. It doesn't take a long time. Think about like your 30-second elevator speech, but since we're clerics, you know, we probably need at least 90-second elevator speech. But what the Lord has given you and whatever reading of that particular week speaks to your heart. And then as we go on, we're going to, and get closer to the end, we're going to talk more about the fruit of the Spirit. But it is so premature to talk about the fruit when we haven't really understood the whole abiding and how we are connected. Because fruit before its time has no worth. So over to you. That's kind of what I have for Council Person.
All right. Elder, if you could just repeat that schedule of individual.
For July 9th, LaDonna Hardy and Keturah Johnson. July 16th, Lynette Harris. I can send it to you in the email as well. Lynette Harris and Arnett Alexander. The 23rd, Carter Thomas and Francine Love. And July 30th, Vera Adams, Trevor Calhoun, and Jamel Michaels. I think that's everybody, so you might want to cross-reference that to your list to make sure I haven't forgotten somebody.
Okay. Will do, will do. We'll check it out. So just as long as the ones for next week know, they'll be up. That's July, you're reading from week one, July 1 through 7. That's what you're going to be looking at. And if you look at the, you had two emails, and one of them, I know the page is upside down, but if you turn the page right side up, it has 10 questions on it. And you can actually do two questions really based on each one of your readings. So question one and two, you should be able to answer those questions after week one. And then the question three after week two. So you'll be able to see exactly what questions line up with your reading for the week. And if you start there, bare minimum, that will give you a good outline and full plan of your sharing and of what you glean from it. So we thank you, Elder Deborah. Are there any questions? Any questions?
Yes.
Did everybody get
it? This is Evangelist Vera. Sorry, Overseer. I didn't get the questions. I got the reading complete, but I don't have questions. And I even have my husband look. No questions, just the reading.
Okay. Duly noted.
Anybody
else?
Back over to you, Overseer.
Overseer? This is Evangelist Shannon. I don't have the questions either. I just printed them out, and I'm looking thoroughly through them. I don't have the questions either. I just have the
Creator
reading and the True Vine pages.
And you will be on week three because I don't think she had called your name.
What was the name again?
All right. Evangelist Shannon Frisbee.
Oh, you're right. Okay. I saw the name that you are not on there. So week three, July 23rd.
Anybody on the line, you didn't hear your name called?
I'm sorry, this is Lady Sharon. I just got on late.
Okay.
Is this for the accountability partners as well?
Well, yes. We definitely encourage our accountability partners to share in this. Absolutely.
Okay, and I haven't gotten the questions either.
Okay, we will make sure all questions
over
go out.
Here, I sent two copies. One had it, one didn't. So it might have been that the one that was shared didn't have the questions on it.
Nope.
I'll send that back to you.
Nope.
As just an individual.
No
document.
Problem. All
okay.
Right. And Elder Sharita, we'll get that out to you this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, Elder. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Anybody else?
Thank you.
And we do want to encourage our accountability partners. When we say, if you have any questions, comments, or insights, you are definitely encouraged to share, particularly when we do the accountability presentations and that sort of thing, because you've gone through it before and you have an insight as to how it works and the importance of it, the benefits of it, sometimes even the necessity of it. And so you're definitely encouraged to share that part in that part of the of our weekly meetings, and not just that part, any part. But we do encourage our accountability partners to definitely be a part of that. Are there any more questions or comments, concerns? Let's send out the questions. Okay. We are going to make it a practice that whatever we give to the candidates, we want to make sure your accountability partners have a copy as well, so that they know what you are doing and where you are in the process in order to encourage you. All right? Any more questions or concerns, comments? Okay. All right. So we will move to the accountability partner presentation. And this week, that's Deacon Lazarus and Brother Jamil Michael. So, Deacon Lazarus, you have the floor to introduce to us your candidate. I remind you to take your phones off of mute. Okay. Righty then. Oh, wait, let's see. I have one phone I got to take off of mute. There you go. Deacon Lazarus? Okay. Well, is Deacon Toler still on the line? Well, Brother Jamil, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, very good. I will introduce this fine young man. I have had the privilege of knowing him before he knew himself. When he was born, he was brought into Kingdom Church as a month-old baby, and we have watched him grow into a fine young man. He is dedicated. He loves his family. He tries to be helpful to everybody. He is polite. He is a very conscientious young man, and he will always be asking, do you need something? You need me to do this? Where are you going? He has always displayed the anointing of a deacon, someone that cares about the house of God and the people of God, and are desiring to be of service. He has a beautiful voice. He is a part of the praise and worship team, and he has the stamina that you don't find amongst young people as it relates to their walk in Christ. He is definitely dedicated to serving God and God's people. And so I present to some and introduce to others our own deacon in training, Jamil Michael.
Thank you for the introduction, Overseer. My scripture that I will be reading today is 1 John 4:21. And it says, in this commitment have we formed him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. What that is saying to me is, when you love God, you have to also love his children. You have to forgive his children, and you have to forgive someone and love a person so that you can get the forgiveness and love and blessing back and so that you can receive the blessing also from God. Because people always say when you give, it comes back to you. So when you give love and you give someone a blessing, it comes back to you. You don't know if you're blessing someone's day by just saying hello. It how you bless that person, it comes back 10 times or more bigger, and you get a bigger blessing than what it means. Mm-hmm. So what that scripture means to me is you have to love God's children, and you have to love God at the same time. Kind of what that scripture means to me.
Amen. Now, there was a portion of that scripture that says, if you don't love the people you see, how can you love him that you have not seen? And though this says that they love God and they don't love God's people, what does the Bible call them?
I don't know what the Bible calls them, but what that part means to me is, how can you love and give all of yourself, and how can you love and give all yourself to this person that you never seen, or, you know, you never seen before? But when you see someone, how can't you love, or how can't you do this to him? So that's what that means to me, that you have to love the people that you see every day, or not every day. You have to love the people that you see in person and love the God at the same time, because no matter what, we are God's people. We are his children, you know. So you have to love us, and you have to love other people, and you have to love God at the same time.
Amen.
That's what that scripture also means to me.
Amen. Amen. A fine job. Thank you, Brother Jamel. Any questions anybody has? Any comments?
Amen. I think that the insight of, if you can't love the people that you see, how are you going to love God? And that is the gist of that passage, that, you know, he says, you know, we're liars. If we say we love God and we don't love our brother or our sister, our neighbor, our family member, as he said, you know, you can't truly love God. So good job.
Amen.
I see the growth.
Amen.
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 Good job, BK.
Amen.
Good job,
amen.
Thank you.
Amen. This is Elder Carter. Thank you, Deacon, for that. I appreciate even you know, as far as your youthfulness, you know, because even I know the overseer was looking for the word liar, and the way you said it, I know what you was looking for.
Yes.
Because I like this. I like that scripture when it says that. How can you love God who you've never seen and say you love your brother who you see every day? It's like, I mean, for real, you lying. You know, you hate
lying,
your fellow man.
Yes.
And so even as it says the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. So here it is. How are you saying you love God and then you hate the person that you see that's even of a different color, especially with what's going on in the nation right now? And you saying, well, I do love them, and I don't see no color. You lying. So, anyways, thank you again, JK.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
And you know, one thing I want to share. Go ahead, Jamil.
No, you go on. You go on. What I was saying was, what that scripture does mean to me is like what everybody was saying. How can you love someone that you can't love, a person, you love the person that you don't see, even if he created the people?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you so much.
Brother Jamel,
Yes.
Brother Jamal, I just want to tell you that I really enjoyed that. I love the sweetness of, and the conviction that comes behind what you share with us. And I think that it is definitely a challenge to love people. And forgiveness, you brought that up. But it's sometimes hard to forgive people. But when you think about what you said, you know, you've got to forgive so that you can receive the blessings mm-hmm. as well. So
yeah.
I thank you for the sweet conviction that you have given us today.
You're welcome.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen. Tell them how old you are, Jamel.
I am 14 years old.
Amen. Amen. And this is when you raise up a child, and he was raised up, and his grandma would be so very proud of him. And I am too. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are welcome.
All right. Excellent. So I think I heard Prophet on the line, so we'll turn the floor over to Prophet.
Well, good evening, candidates, and everyone that's on the line. Just once again, want to tell my brother, hey, man, good job. Thank you for such a powerful and convicting word, and really keeping us in line with what the word of the Lord says. And thank you for being a trailblazer, young man, and leading in the head of your class, leading in the head of your industry, and really submitting to the plan and the purposes that God has for us. Well, as always, it is such an exciting time to be a part of what God is doing in your life, and we continue to pray that you are growing and you are enjoying and embracing this process. So, you know, we've been talking about this concept of a trailblazer and looking at trailblazers in the Bible. And so today we do want to introduce you to another trailblazer, and we're going to encourage you to continue to look at their life. So we're going to talk about the trailblazer by the name of Deborah, or some people call her Deborah. But you can find her story in Judges, the 4th chapter, and also Judges, the 5th chapter. Deborah was a prophet. She was a heroine in the Old Testament. She was one who inspired Israel to a mighty victory over their Canaanite oppressor during that time. And then she later, over the Canaanite oppressor, the people who lived in Palestine, lived in the Promised Land, which later we know as Palestine. She was one who spoke about Moses and conquering and conquesting the Israelites. So the Old Testament describes Deborah as a mighty combination. She was a judge. She was an intercessor. She was a prophetess. She was the mother of Israel. And she was what we would call a military strategist. In the Old Testament, she is actually the only female judge that is spoken of. So we don't know if she, if there was others, but she is the only female judge that is spoken of in the Bible. And so I want us to look at Deborah through the lens of this mighty warrior, this pioneer, this woman of God who paved the way for what we call being apostolic. And when you look at her story in Judges 5, she talks about this song of praise. But in Judges 4, the scripture opens up with Deborah speaking, opening up with Deborah positioning herself in the court. And the scripture talks about how Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazzah and Sisera, the commander of his army. And now Deborah, in verse 4, says, the Bible says she was a prophet. She was the wife of Lepidus, who was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their dispute decided. So she sent for Barak, son of Abinadab from Kesh, the Nephilim, and said to him, the Lord God of Israel commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to the mountain Taborah. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kish River and give him into your hands. Now Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go. Verse 9 says, she says, certainly I will go with you, but because of this course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera in the hand of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun, Naphtali, and 10,000 men who went up to his commander, and Deborah also went up. And the story talks about how the Lord gave victory to this woman. He put victory in the hands of this pioneer. He put victory in the hand of this trailblazer, this innovator who now created this pathway so that other trailblazing women, other judges, prophets can come along the side and walk in victory. And so I wanted us to look at her life and really begin to see what we know about her, and really want to challenge you to kind of do some work on your own. Because oftentimes when we think about biblical heroines and we think about people with great victory, we usually look at it through the lens of the male figure. And I just thought it was very important for some women on this line to understand that you are frontliners and that God is calling you to move in this kind of apostolic, trailblazing, and prophetic thing. And so as we encourage our males to continue to move forth, we also want to encourage the pioneer females that God wants to use. What I thought was so very powerful about Deborah, as we started, is this. One of the things that we often have been talking about over the last couple of months or over a year, that we believe that God is raising up what we call octomoms and octodads. And we call them octomoms and octodads because individuals are pregnant with multiple assignments. And so the Bible says that Deborah was one. She had this combination kind of gifting. She was a judge. She was an intercessor. She was a prophetess. She was the mother of Israel. And she was a military strategist. And so she served in these multiple hats under these multiple anointings and assignments. And that is part of the power of being a trailblazer. So it's one of them things, again, that as a pioneer, an innovator, you have to be able to embrace. You have to be able to say, God, and sometimes it feels like we're being stretched. Sometimes it feels like we have nothing else to give, and our hand is in everything. But that's part of being a trailblazer. That's part of the anointing that is resting upon your life, how you will lead in the marketplace, you will lead in your church, you will lead. Every time you show up, it feels like you're leading. And that's because God has given you this strategic anointing to pioneer and pave the way. All right, so now let's get ready for homework assignment, okay? Let's get ready, and we won't overtax you, because we know that you have a lot going on already. But one of the things that we want to begin to look at is when we look at Deborah, I want you to look at Judges, the fifth chapter, Judges 5. And in Judges 5 is where she begins to make some declaration of praise, where she begins to exalt the Lord that he had released in their hands. And she began to declare some words over Israel. So I want us to begin to develop these trailblazing declarations. And part of what we're going to do is look at Judges 5 and pull out what we believe is a trailblazing declaration. And what we mean by a trailblazing declaration, it is one that we release to declare, to pioneer a way. Trailblazing declaration is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God giving you the decree to pioneer for heaven to be released in the earth. So we want to look at Judges 5, and we want to begin to develop one or two lines of a trailblazing declaration so that others will know that God has gone before them. Every crooked path is made straight. Every rough place is made smooth. And then we want to also begin to examine this octa-mom, octa-dad kind of anointing that rested in Deborah. The scripture was so very clear as we looked at it to identify her gift, or what we call now, you know, you guys may, we may be calling this time these gift mix kind of anointing, how she was a judge, how she operated as an intercessor, how she operated as a prophetess, a mother of Israel, and a military strategist to give victory. So I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about in Judges 5 as we look at what we consider to be these powerful trailblazing declarations. We encourage you, as always, to look at it in multiple versions of the Bible. They're going to pull out different things. We also, you know, encourage you to, you know, find your favorite theme Bible and see what it says about it. And so in verse 5 of Judges 5, it says, "The mountain flowed like water before the Eternal, the God of Sinai. They melted into a flood before the Eternal One, the true God of Israel." And so that's what we want to begin to decree and declare. We want to declare that mountain flow like water before the Eternal, whatever mountain it is. And we want to look at both negative and positive mountains. If it is something that is blocking me from progressively getting close to the God of Israel, it has to flow like water. It has to come down. If it is a mountain that will lead me to the foot of the cross, then let that mountain flow and lead me so that I am closer to the God of Israel, Eternal One, who stands before me, waiting for me to ever be in his presence. So I really want you to look at Judges 5, and I want you to find out your trailblazing declaration, and I want you to be prepared on next week to share it. Give us your heart and your explanation. I like how Elder said it earlier, just something really quick, something really powerful. You don't have to give us a bunch of cross references. But why did you choose that what did it mean to you, and how did it settle in your spirit? And I do want to pray before we go over some women who are just struggling with their identity, who are struggling with this concept of how can I pioneer, how can I innovate, where is my voice? I'm not really sure. I believe, but yet I don't believe. I receive, but I don't know if I conceive. I receive it, but I'm not sure if I conceive it. If it's in the womb of my spirit, and I know that God has called me to lead in my industry, to be number one in my class, and I just don't know what that feels or look like. And I'm not excluding our males at all, but I definitely want to encourage our endeavors on the phone. I want to encourage husbands to stir up the Deborah and their wives and awaken that Octomom, that pioneer, that trailblazing, that innovative spirit in them so that the will of God can be done in the earth. So, Father, I thank you right now for what you have spoken. I thank you for the Deborah that you are raising up. These judges, intercessors, military strategists, mothers of Zion, mothers of visions and dreams for such a time as this. And I remove every lie, every stone, every mountain. Let it flow right now like water before you so that they may come into their identity. They may take ownership of who you created and anointed them to be. I thank you for these octomoms and octodads that are on the phone that you have given multiple assignments to do. They are leaders in several areas of their life, in their city, their community, and their home. And I pray that they would trust you. They would trust that you, it's impossible for you to make a mistake. It is impossible for you to do anything wrong because you are a perfect God. And so I pray that you will reveal to them the secret that they don't even know about them and that you will lead them to the place that you have ordained, purpose, and call for them. Thank you for this trailblazing class. Thank you for this 2020 candidates. You are giving great vision, clarity, and insight to that will lead us to the end of this decade, and we thank you for it. They don't see famine. They see future. They don't see pandemic. They see praise. They don't see crisis. They see Christ, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Are there any questions, comments, insight, inspiration that you've received? Simone.
This is Francina. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that prayer, prophet, and just the call because I am that octomom that sometimes feel like I'm pulled in every different direction, and sometimes you kind of want to pull back and draw back. But I thank you for that fresh wind, and I believe that that's just fire under my feet. And so I thank you for this assignment, and I know that it's definitely on time.
Amen. Anybody else? Is there another?
Hi, it's Sister Annette. I was calling also to just say thank you also for the opportunity because definitely it's been a lot going on, and it's just I'm thankful to not be overwhelmed, thankful to have hope in God, thankful that He's the one that's working it out through us and even giving us a mind to keep continuing on in spite of all the different things. And then even not focus on the negative, but focusing on God and exalting God. And I thank God for what Deacon Jamel was speaking on, because in order to keep the relationship going and even the flow going with God, you have to keep that connection, have to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us, even the things within that we struggle with when ain't nobody, you know, when there isn't anyone around. And thankful for God that He is the one that gives us the freedom in Him, and it is really real, even though we go through the test. And thank God for the victory, and even looking at those things when we're going through them with the stance that He's already given us, that we are overcomers. And when we look at what a stance from victory, then we can really have a right vision and a right mindset on God, how to flow and how to continue in Him, to be able to move in Him. And then you find that the joy and really in His presence, and how He unstops the things that try to stop us up and unblock the hindrances and where we don't know, give us the joy in Him, mm-hmm. that we can continue to learn, and it's not a drudgery, even though we go through tests and trials. So in Him, I'm grateful to be able to say thank God, and thank God for all of the prayers of the righteous that do avail it much, and continue to pray ye one for another. And just thank God that in Him we have the desire in Him to not stay the same, but to continue to move forward in whatever that avenue and that venue is. And just thanking Him that He gives us the strength, and in Him and through Him, He can give us, and He does, to be able to forgive and continue to hold fast to what's important, which is that relationship with God. And through all those things, blessings flow through His word.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Minister Lynette. I'm encouraged.
Yes.
Once again, I continue to be encouraged with the calls being on, and hearing how the candidates and just our comments that just continue to, whether we believe it or not, assure us that this is the time. This is now. We are who He says we are, and we need to see it the way He sees us. So mm-hmm. I'm encouraged, and I
Amen.
Will continue to be encouraged.
Amen.
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 This is Evangelist Vera, and I just want to say thank you for the encouragement, Prophet. We are who God says we are, even though we
mm-hmm.
say we are not. I know I've been called Deborah a lot, but I didn't see it. But through this process of going through this for almost a year, and even before, you just see the change and the growth that God brings you to. And thank you for this assignment, because it makes me look at it a different way. I've read
yeah.
this a few times, but now I have the chance to look at it through the eyes that God wants me to look at it. So thank you again for the push. Thank you for the push.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord from the saints. Is Apostle Katie Pierce on the line?
I am on the line.
Amen.
And I, as always, Prophet and I are usually in the same vein, so I'll usually be like, okay, I'll you know, lay back. He was on the same level, or the same path, or the same spirit that God is leading me. And on today, quickly, I just wanted to share that The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, and I know you all have heard it, about the spiritual gifts and how the Holy Spirit, God gives it through the Holy Spirit for the common good. He gives us gifts according to his sovereign will as he determined. Ephesians talks about these gifts are given to prepare God's people for service and for building up the body of Christ. And I had shared on last week on another call about how with my giftings and what God was calling me, as I was comparing it with other people, I felt like, you know, this is not me and this is for somebody else, and I was ready to give it back. And I was in my prayer time and God said, that's rude. And I was like, what? He said, that's rude. He said, when you go and you choose a gift for somebody, you take your time. You look at it. You have them in mind. You think about their favorite color. You think about how they'll be able to use it. If you're looking for a scent, you think about their favorite scent. Everything that you're doing, when you're purchasing a gift for somebody else, you have that person in mind because you know that they'll be able to utilize it in a way that'll bring a smile to them and it'll bring a smile to you because you purchased the gift. He said, when I chose you and I gave you this gift, I gave it to you in mind. Yes, man confirmed it. Yes, man consecrated it. But this is a gift that I handpicked just for you. I want somebody to know, even as Prophet was speaking, the gifting, the calling that God has given to you, I want you to know that he handpicked it. Nobody else. He said, nobody else can do this like Jamel Michaels can do it. There are many deacons throughout the land, but I see something unique in Jamel, and I've gifted, I found this gift, and I'm putting it in him so that he can be a blessing to the kingdom. So I just wanted to, I just wanted to encourage somebody on the line to understand and to know that I reckon that the sufferings of these present times are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. My God, that God is preparing you to do something. God has something that nobody else can do. There is not another evangelist that can be the evangelist that God is calling you. There's not another pastor that can be the pastor that God. There's not another a leader that God is calling, but only what he's placed inside of you is going to give credence and it's going to give a level of anointing. It's going to trailblaze. Come on, somebody. It's going to trailblaze during this time. So I encourage you, even when the enemy comes in, even when you're fighting against your own thoughts, even when you're casting down your own vain imaginations, come on, somebody. I need you to know and I need you to understand that God has gifted and perfected in you something that is needed for such a time as this. So I just want to encourage you, hallelujah, let love lift you. When nothing else will have love lifted me, hallelujah. Okay, I'm all right. I'm done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't nobody say it like you say it. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have become subject to the anointing that you're in network with. Because this is the way the Lord wants to pour into you. Get every morsel of it. Have Holy Spirit customize it for you and your walk. There's not an idle word that goes that comes forth during this season for you that the Lord cannot bring a revelation to you through. And so I encourage you to be that surrendered, submitted, a soldier that is ready to sacrifice, because it's not going to be easy. He promised that it wouldn't be. You will be persecuted, and the persecution is going to come from so many different directions. You wonder, well, my God, where are you? But he is there with you, and you're going through the fire. That's one of the things that you're going to read when you read about the vine and the husbandman and what he's doing, and he's going to tell you, that's how I do it. And because we love him, and because his love lifted us, we can trust what he does with us. And so we praise God for it. We encourage you to fulfill your requirements. They're there to build you up they're there to give you a knowledge of, an understanding of, and a wisdom of. And these are the things that he wants to impart into you. So if there be no one else and nothing else, we will go to our closing prayer by... Who should give us our closing prayer?
Dr. Carter.
Oh, Dr.
Tell me,
Carter.
Elder, tell me, prophet, doctor. I'm a doctor, prophet.
Amen.
Somebody needs to go on mute. Who's in who's in a shower or something? What's going on? Y'all hear me?
Lord, at the end of the phone.
Can y'all hear me?
Put the phone on mute. There we go. Praise the Lord. There we go. Put your phones on mute. No one needs to talk for elder doctor.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so I just first I just want to just thank the prophet and Apostle KP for their words. It was just so insightful and thankful the anointing that rests upon AEN. So Father God, we just thank you that we get to come to you. We get to come to you because Jesus has given us access. Jesus went before us as a trailblazer, as the ultimate, not only ultimate sacrifice, but the ultimate example of how we are to come to you and how we are to bring people to you and help to set people free. Father, so we thank you for this honor and the privilege to work in the vineyard. We thank you for the honor and privilege to work in your kingdom. The gift and the blessing is because we get to work in the kingdom where there's people outside of the kingdom, outside of the gate, outside of the door that's not in. But because we're in, you have given us the opportunity to open wide the gates and let other people come in. And we say, so who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Yeah. We thank you that you are the Lord. You are strong and mighty. And we thank you that you are the Lord of the hosts. We thank you for your armies, Lord, that you have dispatched upon us now. And we thank you for the angelic assistance that's coming from the north, from the south, from the east and the west to help your people to make it to the finish line, to finish strong, to go through this consecration and come to this ordination. And we're going to have a celebration that has never been seen, that has never been felt in the earth realm, because we are a force to be reckoned with. We are unstoppable, we are unshakable, and we are immovable, and we shall do this thing in the earth, and hell will fill this one. Hell will fill this one, because heaven is open to us, and it is pouring down something, because he hears our cries, because he hears our shouts, because he hears our declarations, and God said, I am coming to see about you. God said, I am coming to see about you in the earth. So the cries have gone up to God. I'm telling you right now that your labor has not been in vain. Your tears have not been in vain. And because you have sown in tear, you shall reap in joy. So I say enjoy, enjoy. I say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Be joyful. Be in joy. I say joy. I say full of joy. I say joy. I say restore to us the joy. I say restore to us the joy, Lord. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Restore us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Do in us. Do in us as we go forth as trailblazers, as innovators, as pioneers to change the trajectory of things that's happening in the earth. Even now, we are world changers. I say that we are history makers. I say that we are power sisters.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Oh. All right, God.
Damn. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.